First John chapter number 3. Not John chapter number 1, but First John chapter number 3. All right? First John chapter number 3. First John chapter number 3. I want to read 3 verses. I'm going to give you what the Lord's given on me, and we'll go eat some dead chickens. All right? Amen. I know y'all got a little bit of room. All right? First John chapter number 3. When you get your place, say amen. All right, look with me in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, but we shall see him as he is." Verse 3. "And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." I want to call your attention to verse number 2 in just a moment. But as we look in verses 1 through 3, we will see in this passage some things. In verse number 1, we see the consternation of unbelievers, or the confusion. What we see in verse number 1 is they can't believe it, that we are the sons of God, and they don't understand it. He said, "We are the sons of God." And he said that the Father have bestowed upon us his love, and he said that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, he said, because they knew him not. They didn't know him, they didn't understand him, and they're not going to understand you, and they're not going to know you. And so in verse number 2, we see the condition of the believers. The condition of the believers is that now we are the sons of God. And then in verse number 3, we see the confidence and the cleansing of this fact. He said that every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. But I want to focus in verse number 2 on the condition of the believer. The condition of the believer. And I want to preach for a little while on the shalls of sons. The shalls of sons. Follow with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we need you this morning. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your faithfulness. And God, thank you, Lord, for your word and all you've done for us. And I thank you, Lord, as we look into your word, we find truths that we can apply to our lives. That, Lord, they never change. These truths are always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And I pray, God, you'd help us these next few moments as we look into your word. May your spirit guide us and lead us and use the word of God. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. We'll give you all the praise, all the thanks, and all the honor for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I want you to think with me, because in verse number 2, as we would look in verse number 2, we would see that he said, "Now are we the sons of God." Now are we the sons of God. Many times as Christians, we are prone to come to God in prayer, and we're prone, and you have to agree with me, that we ask for many things. We look forward to many things. We look forward to things happening. We desire many things in life. We have our goals. We have our aspirations. God graciously and lovingly bestows many of these desires upon us. Many of the requests that we come to God with, he gives us what we ask for. He gives us those things that we desire. And I thank God for that. Needs are met. Bills are paid. Sickness is cured. Relationships restored. Friendships established. Truly, this morning, the list could go on and on and on of things that we ask for and come seeking and desiring. And many times, God gives us. But right here in verse number 2, this very short but yet profound verse, we find some profound truths concerning God's intentions for the sons of God. Now, let me just point out real quickly, the Bible does say that, beloved, now are we the sons of God. You see that plural. Understand, the Bible said in John 3:16, God so loved his only begotten, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Understand, it does not say that he gave us one and only son. So if you've got a version of the Bible that says God gave us one and only son, my advice to you, real short and sweet this morning, is throw it away and get a Bible. The Bible said he gave his only begotten son. All right? Verse number 2 of our text says, "Beloved, now are we," that's plural, "we, the sons," plural, "of God." Understand now, we are the sons of God by and through the new birth. So here we find some profound truths concerning God's intentions for His sons by the new birth or by regeneration. We are now His children because we have been born again, born from above, born into the family of God. If you're not saved, verse number 2 does not apply to you. We are all God's creation, but we are not all God's children. The fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man is not, that's not as exists. That's not true. Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is that God is the Heavenly Father, but He's only the Father of those that had been born again. Jesus said in John chapter number 3, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye, all of you, ye must be born again." But if you've been born again, we find some truths right here in verse number 2 that will encourage us, that will give us great assurance. We find in verse number 2 that this verse begins with a certainty and it has a seeming uncertainty. Notice that in this verse there is something that we definitely are and there is something that we have not seen manifested yet. Look at verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That is no question, that is a statement. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. So He said to believers, beloved, you that are in the blood, accepted in the blood, been born again, born from above, we are now, right? Not going to be, not looking forward to, but now, He said, we are the sons of God. That is a certainty in the Word of God. And then He said, here's an uncertainty. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We are the sons of God now. But there's something that's going to happen. There is a state we are going to be in that we haven't seen yet. Are you listening to me? He's not done with you yet. He started the work. The old song said, He's still working on me. The process has begun. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? And He said, and it doth not appear what we shall be. Amen. So if you're looking at me, hey, I am under construction. Amen. I'm in the process. I ain't perfect. I ain't arrived yet. Are you listening? Now are we the sons of God? It doth not yet appear. Yet appear. It's going to appear. But it doth not yet appear. I'm trying to get you to get with me this morning. Y'all with me? Amen. Now is the present condition of the believer. But I don't just want to talk about now because of what we are now, there is what shall be. Are you with me? Too much turkey on the brain. Hey, because of what I am now, there's something that shall be. Look at me. Right here in verse number 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Four times in this short verse, we find the word shall. Four times we find that word shall. Shall, if you look up that word, you will find that the word shall can inform of a fact that is to take place. It shall take place. Shall can imply a promise. Shall implies a command. Or shall implies a determined event, a determination. And so, you shall do this. I shall do that. You shall. And so, it is a promise. I shall. Remember MacArthur? I shall return. Jesus said, I'm going to return. Watch this now. Or shall simply foretells. This shall take place. This shall happen. Now, there are some details of the future for the believer that we can be certain of. There are some things that we don't know about the future. We have some vague truths that we have that we don't have all the details and we don't understand. We can debate. But everything has been laid out quite clearly. But there are some truths that we have this morning that we are clear about and that we can be assured of. And they will encourage us and give us assurance as children of God. I want you to look at these. For the sons of God, there are some things that definitely, emphatically, without a doubt, shall be. Because now are we the sons of God, there are some events that's going to take place. are the shalls. I call them the shalls of sons. Because these shalls in verse number 2 only apply to those that are the sons of God. If you're not a son of God, these shalls don't apply to you. If you're not a son of God, you need to go back to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13 and get a shall, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the shall for the unbeliever. But for the believer, there are the shalls for God's sons. So understand, we are God's sons and daughters, children by the new birth. And because of that, he said in verse number 2, there are some things that shall be. All right, notice with me. Number one, and some of y'all's not with me. I can tell. Some of y'all ain't going to be with me. But hey, we're going in the Word of God. Hey, I see the shall of anticipation. The shall of anticipation. Look, and it doth not appear what we shall be. Do you see that? It doth not appear what we shall be. Now, we know that we are the sons of God, but he said, it does not appear what we shall be. That would lead me to believe that there's something that I'm going to be that I'm not right now. Amen. And God has promised that there's something that's coming for me that I am not yet enjoying. I have not yet partook of, but I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God right now. But I'm anticipating something different. I'm anticipating a different state. I'm anticipating something to come. Right. Doth not appear what we shall be. This is the shall of anticipation. I just want to just remind you, you're not home yet. Amen. I just want to remind you, amen, this is not the best as it's going to be. I just want to remind you, when you woke up and you was facing sin and temptation and the bombardment upon your mind, and you had pains and aches as a result of sin in the world, and you had a heartache and discomforts and all kinds of that, I just want to just remind you, hey, child of God, that's not what we're to anticipate. It's not going to be like that forever. We have the shall of anticipate. It doth not appear what we shall be. So when you're looking at me and you see impurities, you see imperfections, you see flaws, hey, look in the mirror because they're on you too. Amen. Amen. I'm not. Hey, we're not making excuses for sin, but we're just simply facing the fact that we have not arrived yet. We are not at our final destination yet. We're still in the process. We're still under construction. God's still working on us. He's still forming us. He's still transforming us into the image of His Son. And we are anticipating what shall be. But we have that promise. It shall be. It does not yet appear. It hadn't been made manifested yet. Are you listening? What we going to be, we hadn't seen it yet. Some of y'all, if God showed you exactly what you're going to be, blow your mind. Amen. Does not appear what we shall be, but we're anticipating. So we have the shall of anticipation. I'm anticipating a brighter day. I am anticipating a better day. I am anticipating what God has for me. And then I see, secondly, there is the shall of expectation. Not only am I anticipating, see, when you're anticipating, you kind of got a hope for it. When you're anticipating, you've heard something about it. But when you're expecting it, you're saying, man, this could happen at any moment. Notice the next shall. He said, but we know, watch this, we know, not we think so. He said, we know that when He shall appear. He shall appear. We have a promise. Not only do we have the potential that we are anticipating, but we have the promise that we're expecting. Are you listening? Right. He's coming. Y'all remember Jesus said, if I go away, I will come again. John 14, He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You remember in Acts chapter number 1, in Acts chapter number 1, when He ascended into heaven, He went on up, and but in Acts chapter number 1, in verse number 11, those two men in white stood by, and they said, "With ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall," watch this, shall, so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. It's the shall of expectation. He's coming again.
Titus chapter number 2, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Jude, verse number 14, Jude said, "Behold, the Lord cometh." He said that Enoch prophesied. He said, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of the saints." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, there's coming a day, and you can be looking for it. You can get up and listen. You can look at your watch. You can look at the sky. You can say, "Well, it didn't come this morning, but it might come tonight." He hadn't come today, but He's coming just like He said. Jesus Christ is coming. One of His days, He's going to step out in the clouds. He's going to call His church away. He's going to call His bride to the bride, hey, to the wedding. He's going to take us. He's going to marry us. I'm telling you, and then He's coming back to this earth. And Jesus Christ is not just going to come in the clouds, but He's going to come. He's going to plant His foot on Mount Olives. And He's not coming to take sides. He's not coming for a vote, but He's coming to take over. And He's coming to rule. And He's coming to reign. And Jesus Christ will be crowned the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. The expectation that, listen, we know, hey, we have a promise. Jesus is coming. The Old Testament is full of promises of the second coming. We know that He's already came one time. He came in Bethlehem, lowly stall, laid down Himself, humbled Himself, laid down Himself, become a human being, became a servant, went to the cross, died the death of the cross. But listen, I'm telling you, He went away. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And He ascended into heaven. And He said, "When I go away," He said, "if I go away, I will come again." And the same Jesus, it went away. He shall come. It's a shall of expectation. You can expect it, church. Not only am I anticipating the potential, but I'm expecting the promise to be fulfilled at any moment. And I don't look for signs. I look for the Son. But if I was a Jew and I was looking for signs, they're everywhere. Hey, I'm talking about looking through the window of prophecy. There are signs everywhere of His second coming.
Amen.
I'm afraid. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. But I'm afraid the Church of Jesus Christ is still looking for Santa Claus more than they're looking for Jesus. We're looking for some new president. Hey, forget the president. Look to heaven. Our help comes from the hills. Amen. Hey, my help. Hey, God is my rock. God is my refuge. And He's coming again. We have the shall of anticipation. We have the shall of expectation. But thirdly, and I love this, we have the shall of glorification. Look at this. Hey, we have the shall of glorification. Watch this. We know that when He shall appear, we, that's us, the sons of God, we shall be like Him.
Amen.
Whoa.
Amen.
We shall be like Him. Now let me pause, time out, let me help you out up front. You're never going to be God.
Amen.
This verse isn't saying you're going to be God. This verse isn't saying you're going to be God-like. It doesn't say you're going to be a little God. It says you're going to be like Him. How are we going to be like Him? Well, what we're going to notice in this verse is there's going to be some physical changes that take place. There's going to be some spiritual changes that take place as a result of you, when He comes again, being resurrected, having a brand new body. Hey, listen, we're going to have some kind of body. We're going to have some kind of body. We don't know what kind of body. It's a spiritual body. I'll help y'all out. So, well, what kind of body are we going to have? Let's think about this. Y'all remember when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration? He took Peter, James, and John. Y'all remember?
All right.
Y'all remember Peter said, "Hey, it's good for us to be up here. Let's build a house." Y'all remember? Was there two men up there?
Right.
Did they see two men up there? Who were they? Who did they see on the Mount of Transfiguration? They saw Moses and Elijah, didn't they? Now, let me ask you a question. How'd they know those Moses and Elijah? Had Peter, James, and John ever seen Moses and Elijah? Come on, get your wheels turning. Had Peter, James, and John ever seen Moses and Elijah? Did they have Instagram where they could see pictures of everything that Moses and Elijah did? No. They didn't even have a Polaroid. They didn't even have that little thing. You remember in pictures, you take them and they run out and you shake them until they develop. Y'all remember them? They didn't even have one of them. But somehow, there was two men up there on that mountain, Brother Robbie, that Peter, James, and John identified and said, that's Moses and Elijah. They knew it was Moses and Elijah. They had some kind of body. That's what I'm trying to get. They had some kind of body. They had some kind of body. And it's a spiritual body. And one of these days, listen, it doesn't appear, hey, you can't see what I'm going to be. It doesn't appear yet what I'm going to be. But I know that when He comes, and He's coming, when He shall come, we shall be like Him. We're going to have a body like Jesus' body. Y'all remember, let me just throw this in here real quick. Y'all remember Jesus, after He resurrected, He was eating fish. Y'all remember He's down there by the seaside, they fishing, looking for fish. He's over there already having a fish fry. Y'all remember that? Remember in the upper room, they up there eating? Jesus is welcome. He could eat, but He didn't have to. He could eat, but He didn't have to. You remember when He told Thomas, hey, reach hither. He said, touch my hands and my side. See, it's me. Y'all remember that? Amen. There was a body to touch. Amen. But that same body came through the wall with the door shut. That's right. He had a body. Amen. Don't get too excited about it, but we're going to be like Him. Amen. Hey, you're going to have a body that can eat, but don't have to. Man, I might be able to pull up meat, turkey, and stuff, and mashed taters, and sweet tater pie, pumpkin pie, pecan pie, coconut pie, lemon pie, and never get fat. What a blessing. I might be able to eat a half a ham and not feel like my eyes is busted. Don't know how I'd ever know it would do that to you. But watch me now. We're going to be like Him. But there's much more to it than the physical aspect. There's much more to being like Him than the physical aspect. Oh, that's going to be great, but let's look in the Word of God. Y'all got time for a little bit of Bible? Y'all got time for a little bit of Bible? 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, it says, we know. I like that word, know. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So we know that if this body, what he said, if this body is destroyed, we have another body in the heavens. But watch me now. Right here in 1 John chapter number 3, I want to show you some of these spiritual aspects. Because in Romans chapter number 8, and I don't have time to run all these, but Romans chapter number 8, he said, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. There's another verse that tells you God's got more than one son. He's got one son that's his only begotten son, his own chosen special son. But he's got other sons by the new birth.
Amen.
Amen. Children of God. And everybody that is his child by the new birth, he's predestined to be made into the image of his Son. Amen. So if you've been saved, one day you're going to be like him.
Amen.
Now, right here in 1 John chapter number 3. Look in verse number 1. Hey, what's it mean to be like him? Look in verse number 3. Every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is what? He's pure. So he's pure. I'm going to be like him. I'm going to be pure. I am depraved, but he is deity. I am wicked, but he is wonderful. One day I'm going to be pure like him. Look at verse number 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He's without sin. Right now, I have a sin nature. You got a sin nature, Brother Jerry?
Amen.
You battle it. Amen. We battle that thing every day, don't we?
Amen.
I battle my Brother Steve, you battle yours. The problem is most people don't battle them. They just get right in. But listen, if you want to do right, if you want to serve God, we got a sin nature. We struggle with that thing. There's a battle. The spirit, hey, the lust. I mean, talking about there's a battle on the inside. And one day, hey, listen, one day, I'm anticipating a change. I am anticipating. I have a shell of anticipation. I'm not what I'm going to be. I have a shell of expectation. He's coming. And I have a shell of glorification that when He comes, I'm going to be like Him. I'm going to drop this veil of flesh and rise and seize the everlasting prize. Are you listening to me? Hey, one day it's goodbye world. One day it's goodbye devil. One day it's goodbye troubles and trials. But one day it's goodbye sin.
Amen.
I've been justified. I'm being sanctified. But one day I'm going to be glorified. I'm going to say goodbye to the old sin nature. There'll be no more battles. One of these days, if I have to sleep, I'll be able to get up and not have to worry about the thoughts and the evil deeds that would tempt me. And it's coming today where all that's going to be, it's called glorified. I'm going to be like Him. I'll be pure. I'll be without sin. But I like this. Look down verse number 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He's righteous. That's He's just. He's right. Ain't nothing wrong with Him. So we see, just by looking at these few verses, He's pure, He's without sin, and He's righteous. So if nothing else takes place when He comes, and I'm made like Him, if nothing changes from the physical aspect, if I still had pains and aches, it's going to be wonderful, listen, to be pure, to be without sin, and to be righteous. The only way that I can claim any of them now is to be covered and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus. The only righteousness I have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been applied to my account. So there is the shout of anticipation. There is the shout of expectation. There is the shout of glorification. We're going to be like Him. But there's the shout of revelation. Watch this. Watch this. Watch the latter part of that verse. We shall be like Him. Here it is. For we shall see Him as He is. We shall see Him as He is. Right now, I have a limited view of the Lord Jesus. I look into the Word of God. And my understanding is enlightened, and I am illuminated by the Holy Spirit, I see Him in the pages of Scripture. I see Him in saints' lives. I see Him as I read the Word of God. But my understanding may be dampened. I may misunderstand something from time to time. I don't know that sometimes when we look in the Word of God even, that we understand what we're reading, then sometimes I fear that if you're like me, we may get Him a little bit out of view from time to time. That's why it's so important that we compare Scripture with Scripture. Look into the Word of God diligently to see Him. But right now, that's the only way I see Him. But remember, it said it does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
Amen.
Right now, we can't see it, but there's coming a day when He comes. We call it the revelation. When you read the revelation of Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation, John is pulling back the veil. He's unveiling. He's showing us a picture of Jesus. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. One day we're going to see Him. He is going to be revealed. He is going to be manifested to us. Not just on pages, but in person. I'm not throwing off on the pages. I love the Word of God. I thank God for this King James Bible.
Amen.
But one day I'm not going to need the Bible. One day I'm going to look to Jesus. And I'm going to see Him as He is. The veil will be removed. And we shall see Him as He is. Our conceived ideas and preconceptions of who He is will all be eliminated. Hey, listen, you will understand then that He's more than Santa Claus. He's more than the man upstairs. He's more than Papa. He's more than your best friend. Hey, He's all that and so much more. I'm telling you, He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a just God. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of wrath. He's a God of love, and He's a God of holiness. And we're going to see Him one day as He is. We shall see Him how He truly is. Not just how we want Him to be.
And I'm afraid that in the Church of Jesus Christ, we have people who, when we look in the Word of God, we are looking for our ideas of who God is. Well, Mama said Jesus was, and Papa said, and Mama said, hold on. If what Mama and Papa and Mama and Mama and all them said is in line with what the Bible says, that's fine. But how about we go to the Bible first? How about we see what the Bible says and see if what Mama and Papa and Mama and Nana and all them, see if what everybody says lines up with what God says. But one day all those conceived ideas, preconceptions, one of these days they'll all be gone because He's coming. And when He comes, we're going to see. And there'll be no questions. I hear people say, well, I'll get to heaven, I'm going to ask God. You ain't going to ask Him nothing. You're going to worship Him. You're going to fall at His feet. Just like everybody else did, ever coming to His presence. You're going to fall at His feet as dead and worship Him for who He is.
Amen.
We're going to see Him as He is. That is, we're going to see Him, He's pure. We're going to see Him that He's without sin. We're going to see Him that He's righteous. We're going to see Him as He is. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you a son? Are you a daughter? Are you God's child? I'm not asking you if you was born of a virgin birth like Jesus. What I'm asking you is, has there ever been a time, has there ever been a place where you by faith trusted Jesus Christ and was born into His family? Have you ever been born again, born from above? If so, you can have the confidence and the assurance that we read right here in God's Word because of these shalls. If you're His son, you had the shall of anticipation. You had the shall of expectation. You had the shall of glorification and the shall of revelation.
Amen.
And if not, you can become a son. You can become a daughter. You can become one of God's children today by simply trusting Him, repenting of your sins, and trusting Jesus Christ. The death He died, the blood He shed can be applied to your account. And you'll receive His righteousness as He takes your sin. You can be born into the family of God today. It's as simple as childlike faith, trusting Jesus. Let's stand. All across the auditorium, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the pianist is beginning to play. I want to ask this question. Are you sure that you're sure that you're sure that there's been a time, there's been a place where you trusted Jesus Christ and you've been born again? Can you raise your hand? Preacher, there's no doubt. I'm not guessing. I don't think, but I know. Raise them high. Preacher, I know that I've been saved. You can let your hands down. There was some that could not raise their hand. Here's what I want to do. I want to ask you this morning, if you could not raise your hand, you say, preacher, I'm not sure that I've been born again. I'm not sure that I'm one of God's children. Would you please pray for me? If you'd be honest and raise your hand, I'd be honored to pray for you. Would you be honest and simply raise your hand? Preacher, pray for me. Preacher, pray for me. I'm looking. Preacher, pray for me. Just the preacher's looking around. Preacher, pray for me. Anybody? Be honest. Raise your hand. Maybe you're here this morning, you're saved, you know you're saved. Say, preacher, I needed that assurance. I needed that encouragement from God's Word. Preacher, would you pray for me? Hands going up already. Preacher, pray for me. I needed God's Word. See those hands going up. Altar's open. If you need to come, the altar's always open. You need to come talk to God.